Welcome to Indecent Tea Time,
the dish on all your naughty reads.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jessie. And we're going to talk about so much smut.
This podcast contains mature content. Please read all trigger warnings before reading any book. This podcast also contains serious spoilers for all books, so don't be mad at us for sharing the best parts. The content of this podcast is intended for adults. Safety, respect, and consent are of the utmost importance in any sexual situation. And while we're discussing many topics, we always advise our listeners to be safe, communicate, and respect others. If you're down for the ride, let's get into that tea. We are so happy you're joining us today of Novel Tea, where we're going to be talking about all of the bookish things that we have been doing in between our normal book episodes. We're really excited for you to catch up with us on this episode of Novel Tea. Can't wait for the weekend. Gonna dive off the deep end. No, I don't need a reason. Lose control. I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, and this is kind of off topic, but it's kind of the same topic. It's really, we have been talking about going on date nights, and because we're trying not to drink, we're like, we need to find some like fun activities to do.
Yeah.
Like go do something like more interesting. So I found in Denver, there's multiple of them, but there is a rope, it's not a BDSM club, but it's like an aerial rope arts studio. Ooh. That offers 90-minute beginner 101 courses, like the first Saturday of every month that you can sign up for. That's like Shibari, rope tying.
I was going to say, is it Shibari?
It doesn't list it as that. It just lists it as rope basics for adult entertainment.
Okay.
But it is, right? It's okay. Like Shibari.
Yeah.
But they teach you two standard knots and talk to you about the general practices and safety of like rope tying and stuff like that. And so we are going to do a date night where we go do that like little 101 course thing and then go to dinner. Yeah, I thought it sounded really fun. I was like, would you be interested in this? And he's like, yeah, that sounds really cool. I was like, yes.
Sweet.
Sweet.
Ooh, fuck
sold.
Yeah.
So that's gonna be really cool. We'll let you know how it goes.
Definitely tell me how that goes. I got a card of someone who like you can go to his classes, and I kept it, but I've never done anything with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, they offer like other more like you become a member and then you do like more classes and stuff. But I just thought it would just be a fun, unique date night to go do something different.
Something you guys can take back home with you.
Bring home.
Yeah, exactly. Take back home.
Yep.
That's fun.
When I was searching through that, I stumbled across this. I didn't stumble. I specifically searched it. I put it in the search bar. But I was looking for, I was like, I've never actually taken like a kink test. Like a what's your
girl you should ask me. I know okay, so which one did you take?
I took the one that's like labeled BDSM kink test or BDSM test or whatever. It like had the most, when I like was searching for it, that was the one that came up the most in articles.
Did it have like a list of like we're green to like red?
Okay,
then I think it's the same one.
Yeah it was like a 200 question test. Yeah, so I took it and I got my results. I told my husband and I was like, okay, you need to go take it, but I'm not giving you my results before you take it because the whole point is like to look at our compatibility aspects. So I think I kind of freaked him out, but he did say he would take it. I just haven't sent him the link. I need to send him the link, so that'll be really interesting. Have you taken it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say, what's your top one?
I mean, I totally knew mine. It was my number one was submissive.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have called like all.
I was going to say, yeah, okay. What was number two?
Number two was masochist.
Oh.
Which I knew about myself. I took a screenshot. Hold on.
I was going to say, now I got to find one.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Okay. 90% submissive, 83% masochist. 76% rope bunny, which is why I was then like, we should go take a
a ropes course.
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
Let me figure this out. And then 75% experimentalist, 72% degradee.
Ooh.
Dirty and then girl. It just goes like down from there, like brat.
Right. Oh, that was like one of my top ones. I was a brat and then I was a switch. And I was like, yeah, I
guess. Oh, yeah. My switch is like 38% is like way down the line. And so,
I'll have to find it. That's interesting. I definitely knew the submissive. I was like, yeah, that's. Mm-hmm. And then the masochist was a little surprising, but not very surprising.
I would have been surprised about a year ago, but I'm not anymore.
Not anymore. I wonder. So it's been a while since I've taken that test. I wonder, with all the smut that I've read, if things have changed.
Yeah. You develop, your
new kinks,
sex
right?
Life evolves over time.
You get exposed to some shit in some dirty books, and then you're like, well, I'd be okay with that. I still don't know about the gun fucking, but,
We covered the gun fucking.
I can't let it go.
We're just going to all settle on that's just not safe. So let's not do it. If you roll across
if it was maybe a
Bad Dragon website where they make a silicone gun, then all power to you.
If I knew for sure that this was, it would be safe, it wasn't loaded, it would be like, I don't know. Like, if I knew that it would be safe, I can't say no to, I'd be like, I don't know the situation.
You can't say a lot when you're in the moment.
Exactly.
You can't say no to a lot in the moment.
I think that'd be cold though. I don't know.
Well, so is like a glass dildo. Glass dildo.
Yeah, but it doesn't have like the grips for like the gun, like on like the barrel. You're not putting the whole fucking thing. I'm like thinking like the backside. I guess there's just like a lot of parts on a gun that I don't think it would be.
Would like scrape?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, we have had too many gun. We're not talking about this again. We are not doing this again.
I said I can't let it go. I can't let it go.
We have.
I'm still disturbed.
Beaten this subject to a pulp.
Okay.
We are not doing it anywhere. Okay. Anyways. Go take the test. It's BDM test online. Go see what you are. Make your significant other take it. And then see how compatible you are. You can even like swap your ID codes to, and it will like test your compatibility like within the.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Anyways. Okay. But along these lines, kind of ish, I asked my smut club in my neighborhood a question a couple weeks ago.
Did you ask them?
And it was super random. I don't know why I was thinking, but I was like, I sent him a note and I was like, all right, serious question, guys. Is Taylor Swift a sub or a dom in the bedroom? And I got a very wide variety of answers. So you're going to have to give me
both.
Yours.
You want my answer?
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, some of the outfits that she wears, she could be a total dom. Like, I could totally see her, like, dressed up in, like, the dominatrix, like, leather, like, outfit, high heels, stepping on some guy's balls. Fuck yeah. With whips. Yeah, I could totally see her as a dom.
That's, like, all. She's, like, the most, like, assertive, dominant, like, woman ever in her day-to-day life. So I feel like.
Oh, then she
because
want...
she's got, like, a golden retriever puppy dog, like. Man toy.
I could see both. But maybe she's a switch.
In the bedroom, I feel like she's the sub and he really turns it on.
Well, he's a football player. I could see her as a switch, though, because I'm sure that there are those days where she just wants to be dominated, but then there's other days where she's like, no, bitch, I wear the pants. I could see
it's fair. One of the ladies in the group chat was like, she gets told what to do and what to wear and all this stuff every day. And I was like, I mean, it's Taylor Swift. I'm pretty sure she dictates most of that.
She's not
a normal celebrity.
No, yeah,
she's Taylor Swift.
Involved in what she does.
Yeah. Like, she runs her shit for sure. But so that was a topic of conversation we had.
Thank
I thought
you for,
it was a good one.
Getting me to imagine Taylor Swift in a Dominique situation. That was quite pleasant for me. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can probably Google it and find it, but
I'm sure there. Like I said, I could just totally see her with like a whip in her hand, dressed up like her hair in a ponytail, black Mm-hmm. Leather, fuck yeah.
Yep. I think she would rock that. She would be really good at it.
I think she would really rock that.
Yeah.
But I could also see both. I could also see her like strapped to a bed. I could see her getting the whip.
Yes. But maybe not the whip because, you know, her skin is flawless. So, and she wears very little clothing a lot of times. So they've got to do things that are not seen. Yeah. Exactly. She's got some nipple clamps. I think you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Taylor's good. So now all of our listeners can go and figure out if they think Taylor Swift is a sub or a dom in the bedroom.
That's great.
It was a very lengthy conversation. It was very fun. But anyways, so books that we've been reading lately, since this podcast is about books. And that was all just random.
That was all.
So I'm reading two books. Well, okay. I read a three-part series. Only two parts are out. Mm-hmm. That I absolutely am obsessed with. And then I am also reading currently the Ravenhood series. I am in the middle of the second book, and this book has a massive cult following, like this series. The first book is called Flock. The second book is called Exodus. That's the one I'm reading right now. And there's three. There's one more. But it's...
crazy series following like ACOTAR.
Yeah, I mean, but this one is not a fantasy. Like, this is a dark romance, like,
oh, okay,
cult following. It's in, and that is not the same following as the romanticy, like fantasy romance cult girlies. Like, these girlies are different.
Oh, we some bad bitches. Okay.
Yeah. And so this, like, this is a very, very, very popular and beloved series, and it is sad. Like, it is emotionally wrecking. Like,
oh, shit.
And okay. It's because all these fucking dark romance girls like to just mentally abuse themselves. Like, that is it. Like, that is a key characteristic of all of our dark romance girlies.
Okay.
And so I, like, got into it and I was like, man, I don't know if I want to read it because I'm not a very emotional person to begin with. It's really hard for me to, like, get worked up.
Right.
Because I compartmentalize very well.
You know, you tell me. I know you.
Yeah. And so, like, I was like, I'm not going to get, like, worked up about this at all.
Okay.
I did cry the other night. What? In bed. Yeah. For the first time in my life reading
That's
a book.
That's crazy to me. You cried? Mm-hmm.
Okay. I did cry.
I was like,
first time ever reading a book that I have cried, and I didn't like bawl, right? But like, okay, for me to even tear up is like pretty impressive. And then I couldn't sleep after that. I was like, well, fuck.
worked up.
Jesus. And then one of the girls that I follow, one of the BookTokers I follow, she had posted, and she was, because, you know, a lot of the girls on TikTok, they come up with these songs that like represent series of books that they're reading.
Okay.
And I don't know what the socially accepted song or playlist for the Ravenhood series is, but the BookTalker that I follow posted and was like, you guys are not giving Shallow by the Archers enough credit. I went and listened to this song, Jess. It's the saddest song I have ever heard in my life. And you will love it because they are really good. The Archers are really good. And it's more your style of music anyways.
Oh, sweet.
But holy shit. I was like, I don't think that I can finish the series after listening to that song and getting through half of the second book.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Like, I mean, I'm going to do it for sure. But it's all like, it's super trippy. It's very like... Big Brother scenario, right? Like, it's a Robin Hood, so a vigilante like retelling is the whole premise. It's a reverse harem kind of. It's one chick, two guys, and then it develops in a really weird way. But I think, I don't know, like, if you're ever in the mood for like a sad book, and one that kind of gives you 1984 vibes. Or what's that book that you have to read in high school that's all about Big Brother?
I think it's 1984.
You didn't read books when you were in high school, so?
No, I didn't go to high school. I went to the bad kid school, Kristen.
I know. I was going to say a meaner joke, but then I took it back. Anyways, so yeah, it is really good right now, but it's pretty sad. And so
1984, George Orwell. I knew that.
1984. Okay. Yeah. So it's interesting, but I could see why it has a cult following. It's a very okay. different than any other of the Smut books that we have read, or I have read even, in any of the others. So it's very fascinating. Yeah, if you ever feel like you're just a little too positive and you need to like take a reality check. If things are going too well for you, you should pick up this series.
Pick up this book.
Yeah. So anyways, I'll tell you how I feel at the end of the trilogy, but right now I'm like, a prime example, the other night, or my husband and I sit down, we watch a movie. Well, after the movie, it was like about these people who, this like rugby team who their plane crashes in the Alps, and then they survive for like 65 days by eating each other. Right, it's not like a super sexy movie, not really putting you in the mood. So we finish the movie and go upstairs, and I was like, yeah, I'm not really in the mood. Like that wasn't really set in the tone. And so I was like, I'm going to read. And so I sit down to read, and he comes in the next morning, and he's like, well, did you like feel better after reading? I was like, I'm literally reading the most depressing book on the face of the planet right now. Like, and he's like, I thought you were reading a romance book. And I was like, I think I am. But
you're like, I thought I was.
But apparently me reading is not going to get me in the mood lately, buddy. So you're gonna have to wait till this series is over. Sorry.
Damn, that's funny.
But the series that I am reading right now, the third book is not out. It's a trilogy. I read the first two books. The third is not out yet. That I am obsessed with.
Okay.
I think you're gonna really like this one. So
Okay.
The name of the first book is Entangled. The second book is Ensnared. They're written by Rebecca Quinn. And this is like an apocalypse type of, you know how much I love end of the world shit, right? Like, yeah. I love when everybody dies. That's great. And this one is like, it gives very Walking Dead vibes, but without the zombies.
Ooh, okay.
World is torn apart. People are in these different societies. And lots of people are super fucked up, right? Like, okay. Most of the people are, like, trafficking women because, you know, we've devolved and all of that. Okay. And so in this series, there's this one chick who has managed to be on her own for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And this one society finds her, so she's on the run. These guys find her. And they're like, you know, the random good guys, right? And they're all army dudes. So it just so happened that these army dudes were all at the same place with each other when the time of this attack happened.
Okay.
And they all ended up in this hidden house bunker that one of them had built, was in his family, right?
Okay.
And so these guys find this chick while she's on the run. They bring her back. The best part about this book is I have never read a book that has more complex relationships in it. Like, these relationships are very intriguing.
Okay.
I love books that really dive into different kinks and really, like, educate you on it, right? That's why we love the Sarah Kate series, because it's very educational, and it goes into all the different types of kinks. This book does that.
Okay.
And it has a really cool storyline. So we're talking about five dudes, one chick.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it is a Y choose, which is great. But
a lot of D.
Yeah, exactly. So this is where we're gonna get into. I have notes for this part. We're going to get into these complex relationships because it's going to make you want to read it. And we're going to break out all of our kink verbiage.
Break it down for me.
Our adjectives here. All of our vocabulary. Okay. So, again, five dudes, one female.
Okay.
And the relationship dynamics in this are, there is a sadist dominant. One guy.
Okay.
He's dominant sadist. There is a masochist submissive, right? So these two clearly get along really well. There is then...
Okay, wait. Are these the dynamics of the men of the army dudes?
Okay. So it starts out where they're all only interested in this chick, right? They're only interested. Okay. They're not really, but it explains like the relationship development of these guys where they're, these two guys in particular, like come to Jesus, come to each other.
Yeah.
But through the storyline.
Okay.
But they have to kind of get there. Okay. But so these two are like perfectly matched. And then there are these best friends. And one is a pleasure dom. Mm-hmm. And one is an owner dom.
What's that?
So I learned this in my BDSM quiz. Apparently, like an owner dom is someone that likes to, like a dominant, but like possessive of the person. Like, not like slave, but like... Well, that's kind of actually that's the term they use in the test. It's like in the BDSM test I took online. So there's a pleasure dom and an owner dom. So the one guy is a dominant and a sadist. So a sadist is someone who likes to inflict pain. And then dominant, he likes to control actions. He's going to be the one commanding the scene, right. Giving directions. And you can be a 24/7 dominant or you can be just a... In the scene bedroom. Dominant yeah. Or you can be like a hybrid, right? But that's the type,
right? You're so knowledgeable. And this is a great example. This is a great description. I'm so proud of you. Okay, next definition. I love it.
Next definition, friends.
Yes,
the next gentleman in our storyline is a submissive masochist. So a submissive, same as the dom, can want to be submissive 24/7 or just in the scene.
He likes to take the orders. He likes to...
Exactly. And they want to take direction. So it pleases them to fulfill the wishes of their dominant.
And then he's a masochist, so he likes the pain to be inflicted.
Be in pain. Exactly. So they're perfectly matched.
Yes, of course.
And then there's these two buddies. One is a pleasure dom. So again, he's dominant, so he likes to control the scene. But His satisfaction comes from providing pleasure to their submissive. The other guy, his best friend, is more of an owner dom. So he likes to essentially be dominant over this situation, but they're like a poly. It's a weird poly relation dynamic. So... The pleasure dom is the one who provides all of the emotional comfort to the third person, the girl.
Okay.
And the owner dom is the one who manages and controls the relationship. So, like, he dictates to them what happens. He is not the emotional support system in this relationship, like the pleasure dom is. And then the owner dom is, like, the dom of the relationship, like, as the trio.
Interesting.
Okay. But the two guys don't get together. Like, they're not interested in each other. They only function in this dynamic where, like, one is the emotional body and one is, like, the controller.
Yes.
Okay. And so there are, like, two parts to a half, and then they've got a girl.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I understand the poly situation you're going about there. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So that's their thing. Okay.
Okay.
There's four guys. That's four of our guys.
Four of the five. All right.
We have one more. And one more, the last guy, and I feel really bad when I was, like, trying to write this down and, like, describe him. I was like, I mean, he's your run-of-the-mill dom. Like, he's just a dominant guy. Like, he does not like the poly thing. He's, like, a monogamist dominant.
Okay.
And he is, like...
this girl?
Okay.
Okay.
So...
Polycule, dude.
It's so complex, right? That's why I have like a whole list of which is like a big part of why I like this book so much. But anyway, so then like the way this girl like slots in, right, is that like on the sadist masochist duo, like they also are into each other, which they figure out through the series,
right?
And but because she is a submissive and the other guy's the only other submissive in this like six person trio. So they love each other because then they get this like sweet cuddly, like romantic, like fun, giggly relationship with each other. And they're attracted to each other, so they sleep together. But then they also bond on this, we're both subs, so we like have something to bond over type thing. And like, I can talk to you about it. And like, it's like this whole deal.
Okay.
And, but the sadist is also very attracted to the girl. So he likes her. And it's a, so they're kind of a trio.
Okay.
And then the pleasure dom and the owner dom are a trio. And then they're trying to get this run of the mill, like monogamous dom to like be okay with her having like five boyfriends.
Dude,
which he's not okay with.
Yeah.
And so that gets you through like book two. And then book three hasn't come out yet. And I'm super excited for it
because she's in like three relationships, essentially.
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's like very, yeah, poly. Because, yeah, she's in three separate relationships, but they're all kind of one. Because even though they're like broken into these different groups, like still sometimes like one guy from the other, like the buddies group will like work with the guy from that's the submissive or like work with the sadist, like, and they'll kind of like team up on her. It's very interesting.
Okay. And what's the series called?
It's, I can't remember the name of the series, but the book is called, the first book is called Entangled, and the second book is called Ensnared, and then
Entangled
the next book
and Ensnared is,
uh-huh,
okay. All right. And it's post-apocalyptic world is what you said?
Yeah. It's like post-apocalyptic.
Okay. I'm in it for the end of the world and I'm in it for the dick. So I guess I'll check it out and I'll let you know as I read it. Like, yeah.
Super like it's so
how
complex.
Big are the books? Like how many pages?
I think they're like pretty average. They're like 375
okay.
pages. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, they're pretty average. But the author does a really good job of like explaining the dynamics. And these are complicated dynamics. Like, it's not just one of those smut books where it's like, okay, there are five dudes and like
they're
we just
cool
go about
it.
Our smut business. Like, these are some serious, complicated kinks that we're like trying to entangle all together. And she does a really good job of
just like going through it. Okay. All right.
And there's a scene. Jesse, this was a first for me in all of my books. This was a first, and I was super excited about it when I read it. I was like, great. So we'll skip the whole explanation of how they got to this point, but the girl is on her back with her head in between the pleasure dom's legs, and the sadist is fucking his submissive from behind. Well, into her, right? The submissive is fucking her, and his sadist is fucking him into her.
Yeah, okay.
While her pleasure dom has her head in his lap after she just gave him head. I was like, that is new.
That's
this
a
is new
right there. That's yeah, or almost considered a gangbang. We're almost there.
It was
I'm just imagining. So okay, so she has her head in someone's lap. She just finished
giving him head.
Right. Okay. And then she's getting rammed by the submissive. Who's getting rammed by the masochist or the sadist.
Yep.
All right. Everybody's having a good time.
I was like, I'm surprised out of all of the reading that I have read that that's the first time that that has come up. But it was really good. It was
good. The imagination or the experience of these authors. Who knows?
I know, right? You did some good research.
Right? Exactly. Like, all right, someone went to their orgy. Someone saw something.
Exactly. But I mean,
all right.
It's really good. The series is really, really good. And the sex is creative like that through the whole thing. So,
okay.
It's not on our list for 2024 because we've already chosen our books for 2024. But if you get a wild hair and you don't want to cry.
Guess what Jesse's reading during the Indian wedding.
Exactly. I like it. It really is super fascinating. I like devoured those books.
How quickly did you read it?
I think I read that. I read both of them in like a week and a half.
Oh, it's not bad. Okay.
I mean, some people might not believe it, but I do have a day job, so I do have to work it during the day. But
dude, I when I was reading the historical romance, there was like a second while I was on my lunch break while I was trying to read, I was like, I can't do this here. This is weird. I can't. I mean, like, yeah, at least you're at home and like you can do it. But like, I was in public, Kristen.
Okay, so I hope that everyone liked our mid-month bookie kinky chat. Because that was it. That's what we brought to the table today. All right. Well, everyone, we will see you next time. See you then.
Bye.